Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. The number is always 844-322-2742, and remember, whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, the number is the same in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But if you have something you'd like to talk about, a particular life issue or family issue or whatever the situation might be, something going on at work, response to the COVID-19 virus, well, we'd love to discuss it with you. If you have a Bible question, a good opportunity as well. So once again, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday to talk about Jesus Christ, to talk about the good news that he brought into this world 2,000 years ago, and just the opportunity to pronounce it again today through these airwaves. I mean, we live in a day and age where certainly people need the good news, and we're just bombarded almost daily with just bad news. And I think we're in a period of time where every day the news seems to be getting worse. So I'm grateful we have this opportunity to announce the good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. I love how Paul ended his letter to the Galatians. He says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." So he penned this. He put this down on paper with his own hand. And so that's neat to see. But then he goes on to say, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." So there's a lot of people that give lip service to Jesus Christ, and then when the pressures of this world kind of mount as far as their lives are concerned, they shrink away. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they want the acceptance of the world rather than the approval of God. And that's really what this entire book of Galatians is all about. Are we going to be people pleasers or God pleasers? Yeah. And there's only one way to be a God pleaser, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this is a story about Jesus, and are you going to be a part of that story, or are you going to allow yourself to be connected and marked by the approval of this world? And that's what Paul is talking about here at the end. It says, "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." I remember when I was at the University of Georgia and I pledged a fraternity, and we just had a great group of guys and just a rich experience for me. But every year we would have rush parties. So what's a rush party? It's a party where you invite potential initiates for the fraternity to get a chance to meet them, to get a chance to kind of see what they're really like. And so after those parties, we would all gather as a fraternity, and we would talk about the guys that showed up. And some would say, "Hey, I was a Fiji," and so we would say, that guy's Fiji material. Mm-hmm. He's like we are, and so he has the same qualities and characteristics that we do. So we wanted to mark them out as someone that belonged to us. And then if they pledged us, if they accepted the star, then we would boast about it. Yeah. "Hey, look at the guy we got."
Right. Yeah.
Well, what does that guy do? He improves our status. He makes us look a little bit better on the college campus. And boy, I tell you, when they got me, Bob, their self-image just went
really boosted that thing.
Oh man, yes. I'm telling you what. But we like to be connected to people and mark them out as somebody that's like me, because that's going to make me feel better about me. Mm-hmm. That's just the part of the flesh that we live in, this flesh that's a part of our makeup as human beings. And so that's exactly what he's saying here. Even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire for you to be circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So Paul was one of those guys that wanted the approval of the Jewish leadership. He was a rising star in as a Pharisee, and they looked to him as kind of the future of Judaism. And he was stroked by those folks in leadership.
Right.
And he was encouraged to keep going, to keep moving. They liked Paul. They liked him. They liked him a lot. And then he met Jesus.
Yeah.
And he lost everything. He lost all of that approval. He lost all of that acceptance. He lost all of those pats on the back. He lost all that he had valued so much as he was going up the ranks, rising through the ranks in Judaism. And he's saying, hey, that's okay. I don't need that approval anymore. Why? Because what I have in Jesus is so much better.
Right. Yeah.
And at some point, we as believers need to make that statement ourselves, that what we have in Jesus is so much more important than what we can gain out there in the world. Why? Because every single day there are different groups of people. There are different individuals that are trying to mark you out, to give you a sense of approval so that they can boast in your flesh.
Yeah.
They can boast about being connected to you, and you can boast about being connected to them. We're seeing a lot of that right now.
Indeed, we are.
I mean, if you say something wrong on social media, you are marked out as this type of person. If you say something right on social media, then you get approval from this group of people. We're seeing fingers pointed. We're seeing all kinds of judgment take place. Everybody wants to know what side of all these different issues do you fall upon. And Paul said, I'm crucified to the world. I am connected to Jesus. I'm going to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, what's the rule? That we are new creatures in Christ. We died in Christ. We were buried in Christ. We were raised to walk in the newness of life. All who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God, the people of God. So what matters? What truly matters? And that's the question that Paul is raising here. What truly matters is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we allow the gospel to be sucked up into the issues of the day, and it loses kind of its prominence.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a part of this bigger thing that we're trying to get solved out there in the world. But what matters is the gospel. It trumps everything. Mm-hmm. It stands as the preeminent message the world has ever known.
Yes.
And what matters for eternity, as far as you're concerned, as far as I'm concerned, what matters as far as here and now is concerned, is the fact that we are connected to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely nothing better that a human being can experience than new life in Christ. So I think we need to start saying that,
yeah,
and we need to start offering that as the hope for any individual in their day-to-day lives.
Great thoughts, Bob, and thank you. As we open this particular broadcast, friends, we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And, you know, it's an exciting thing as we approach the end of our fiscal year on June 30th. I speak of our Good News Matching Gift Challenge, a $45,000 matching gift that doubles every dollar you give for the rest of this month. Any amount you give will help us reach what we conclude the fiscal year with on June 30th, as Bob has said. We need about $180,000 over the next 14 days. So we ask everyone to make your most generous possible gift to help us reach that total and help Basic Gospel stay on the air, bringing the good news of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. please click donate at basicgospel.net and help Basic Gospel meet that $45,000 Good News Matching Challenge. And they will double every gift that you make. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And as our way of saying thank you for your gift this month, we'll send you a copy of our new 30-day devotional called Forgiveness that can open the door for you to experience the full benefits of the gospel and enjoy a deep personal connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, make your donation at basicgospel.net or by mail at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Once again, the number 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. And this call came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yeah, I'm calling about the verse in Hebrews about people who were believers that become apostate. And I wonder if that's the unforgivable sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's a difficult one, because I do believe that once you're saved, you're saved. But I don't think God forces us into being saved or staying saved. And I'd like to hear some different points of view on that.
Well, when somebody's saved, they're just saved. Why? Because they're born again into the family of God. And so when somebody's born again into the family of God, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of that person. You can't be a Christian if the Spirit of God doesn't live in you. Now, you may, in your mind, think, I'm just not sure about this, and you may have doubts and all of those sort of things, but Christ has no doubts. He has no questions. He has no issues. He's already committed himself to us. And when he says that he's going to send his Spirit to take up residence in us, that is a eternal reality. Mm-hmm. So Jesus isn't going to back away from his promise. He is faithful. So if he said that he's going to send the Spirit to live in us and the Spirit is never going to leave us nor forsake us, guess what? The Spirit is never going to leave us nor forsake us. And that really is an exclamation point in the letter of Hebrews, that God's Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us. That's the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, the fact that his blood took away our sins once and for all, and through that shed blood, we're made holy in God's sight, we're made perfect in God's sight, we're made alive together with Christ forever. So that is an eternal reality. So we may doubt, we may start to question things in our life, but God never does. He has committed himself to us. Jesus Christ has committed himself to us. The Holy Spirit has committed himself to us. And if the three of in one are saying, hey, we've saved you, guess what? They've saved us forever. And as the writer of Hebrews said, when we're saved completely. Yeah. That's good news. So, no, we can't walk away from it. We can't walk away from the Lord. Why? Because he's in us, and his life is now fused with our life. His Spirit is now one with our human spirit. And to unravel all of that would take a work of God, and he's already done a work to bring that about. And he's going to hold on to us through thick and thin, and that's what we can count on.
Yes, indeed. Well, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us. 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And another call that came in overnight, Bob, is this one.
Yes, Bob, I had a question on 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Now, is that referring to Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 35, where the Word of God says, "And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, was that verse referring to Jesus, the Son of God, or is it referring to us as believers? Thank you. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Well, I sure appreciate that that question. Yeah. As far as the passage in Luke is concerned, that is referring to Jesus Christ. So the angel is having a conversation with Mary, and he's telling Mary what's going to happen, and that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her, and she's going to give birth to a son. And she's wondering how in the world that's going to happen, because she's a virgin, but He said, hey, this may seem impossible to you, but for God, all things are possible. And so in that particular reference, Luke 1:35, it's talking about Jesus Christ. He is that Son of God that came into this world, that inhabited a body. So he was both fully God, fully human. That's the Jesus that we worship. That's our Lord. That's our God, Jesus Christ himself. And when we identify with him, we become sons of God, and he sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. His seed abides in us. And that's what he's talking about in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he can't keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So we're born again into the family of God. This isn't something that happened through our understanding or our doing or the will of our parents or anything like that. This was done by the will of the Father. He gave us new birth through faith in Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we become children of God. We become sons of God. And that's good news. And as sons of God, we have full rights as members of this body of Christ. And we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So Luke 1:35 is specifically talking about Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, those who are born of God, sons of God, that's you and me.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
That's good news. So we have become like Jesus in the fact that we now are known as children of God.
Yes. Great stuff, Bob. Thank you for that. And we need to continue to talk about it. So, Bob, please tell our listeners once again about our year-end need and this wonderful Good News Matching Gift Challenge that we've got.
Gosh, I'm so excited about this Matching Gift Challenge. A group of friends of the ministry stepped up to the plate and said, we want to ignite some giving here at the end of the fiscal year so that we can catch up and be fully ready for July 1st to start a brand new year as far as Basic Gospel is concerned. And why did they step up? Because there's a great need. There is a need as far as Basic Gospel is concerned. This is an urgent need, a critical need. It's not something that we can just ignore and hope is going to take care of itself. It's a need that we need to put out there. And these friends said, we want to help you communicate that need, and we want to help inspire others, motivate others, compel others to jump on board and to meet this financial target of $200,000 for the month of June.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that so important? Well, it's important because the issues of the day, and boy, there's a lot of them. These issues of the day need to be met with the full force and clarity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These aren't things that can be solved through human intellect. These aren't things that can be solved with more laws or more regulations or more programs or that sort of thing. We're talking about heart issues.
Yeah.
And there's only one person that can deal with the heart of a human being, and his name is Jesus Christ. So we are encouraging people to jump on board with us so that the issues of the day can be met with the full force and clarity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there is that issue. This is an unprecedented opportunity in human history to get the message of Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible. The coronavirus, I think, has surfaced a lot of fears in human hearts. They're starting to ask questions. People are starting to ask questions about their lives, who they really are, what's their purpose in life, what's their destiny, what's going to end up with them, or how is their life going to end up as far as beyond the grave. So they're asking these questions only the gospel can answer. But with the coronavirus and with the shutdown of this country, donations dried up for a brief period of time. They're starting to come back, but there's a ways for us to go to make up for that dip. So we're asking our friends, our listeners, our folks who are a part of Basic Gospel Nation to really step up to the plate and make a difference for Basic Gospel right now, so that this good news can continue to go out forcefully with clarity, so that it can speak heart to heart to human beings all over the world.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, you can go online to basicgospel.net to make your gift, or you can go to the U.S. Post Office and drop a check in the mail at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310. That's in Louisville, Texas, and the zip is 75057. We would love for you to partner with us. Bob, yet another question that came in overnight. Let's listen to it.
Yeah, hi. My name is Mark, calling from Vancouver, Canada, and my question basically pertains to the amillennial position. I myself believe the so-called the amillennial or amillennial position. I guess amillennial is more correct. I believe you fellows also believe the amillennial position as opposed to the so-called millennium position. Maybe you could expound a little bit on that. Thank you.
Well, Mark, thank you for that question. There's three basic views of this idea of the thousand-year reign, and we see that spelled out in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. So when does that occur? And that's always the question. We're always so concerned about the timing of things. People have been trying to figure out the timing of Christ's return since Christ was here before. So that started way back when, and there's denominations that have been built upon calculations based on when they thought Jesus would come back. And every single time somebody has put forth a date, it's always been wrong. They've had to recalculate. They've had to go back to the drawing board to try to figure it out. So this is another one of those things. So Scripture talks about the thousand-year rule and reign of Jesus Christ. So there's the question of what exactly is that? What does that look like? When does it start? And what are the events that domino to bring that about? So the amillennial position is a position that basically says it's already begun, that the rule and reign of Jesus Christ began basically on the day of Pentecost, when he sent his Spirit to take up residence in the hearts of people, and when he brought together a body of believers called the church. And we see, for example, in Colossians 2, that we've been transferred out of darkness and placed into the kingdom of his Son. So the amillennial view would take that and say, hey, we're already in the kingdom. This kingdom is in full operation here on planet Earth. And at some point in the future, Jesus is going to return. And when he returns, we're going to get our resurrected bodies. There's going to be the judgment of the dead, those who rejected Jesus Christ, and then new heavens, new earth.
Yeah.
So that makes some sense to me. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. Now, the post-millennial is basically saying that, you know, there's going to be a point in time when the body of Christ gets so good that its rule and reign is pretty much established, and that's going to bring the return of Christ. But I go with the simple. I think that's much easier. Christ is coming back, and with that, all things are going to be made new as far as this heaven and earth. Bob, take it away.
Going to be put right in the right place. Well, we are out of time.
It's
almost unbelievable to me. But anyway, friends, thanks for being with us. And remember that we have that Good News Matching Gift Challenge that doubles every gift you give up to $45,000. And with your help, we can meet our year-end need. So we encourage you to do that by the 30th, the end of our fiscal year. You can give at basicgospel.net or at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Till tomorrow, for Bob and the staff, Bob Davis saying goodbye. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.